Won't that be a great day when we all join in a heavenly choir, every tribe and every nation, singing that Jesus is ours and that we are his. Lord, give us endurance until that day. Give us boldness until that day to say even now that you are ours and that we are yours. Amen. I had a friend in church once that said he wished he could have a radio show, a radio show that would be only about good news. I don't know if you listen to the radio, but often when I listen to it, sometimes I have to turn it off when my kids are in the back because of all the stuff that they're talking about that has happened in Massachusetts and in our country and in the world. I have to turn it off because so much of it is not good news. So my friend said, what if there was a radio show that was just about good news? When I was in Pennsylvania last week, I saw something I thought was good news. It said, free. That's good news. The fish wrapper. I love fishing, so I went over and I picked up the fish wrapper to see what the fish wrapper was all about. And when I opened up the inside, it says, this bi-weekly newspaper, and our objective is to bring positive news, inspirational articles, and information everyone can use. Now that's great. We hope you will find it refreshing, thought-provoking, and motivating as you face the sometimes overwhelming challenges of today's world. The fish wrapper gets its name from a practice done long ago. At one time, folks wrapped their fish in newspaper. This term caught on and went on to be a slant at the newspaper itself. When one disagreed with an article, the standard comment was, yeah, I saw that in the fish wrapper, indicating that that's all the paper was good for. All right, so they called their paper the fish wrapper. Where do we go to make sense of the world? This paper says, come to us. We'll help you make sense of the world. Where do we go to get something positive in this life? Where do we go to get our information? Where do we go to get our inspiration? Where do we go to get refreshment? Where do we go to get provoked? Well, some of us go to the movies. Some of us go to our music library. Some of us go to our cell phones that put us in the center of our world where we can have anything we want on that device. Some of us go shopping. Some of us go to entertainment or video games. Or some of us go to our hobbies. And we hope by those things, we will receive all these things we just talked about. And when we're doing those things, we pick up messages or we embrace messages in those various environments where we may find ourselves. We pick up messages that are popular with other people, and that's how messages get to the top and trend, because they're popular with other people, and then we see them trending, and we see what they are. And sometimes they catch on for us because we know, well, this is popular, this is what everyone else is thinking about, this is what everyone else is doing. We embrace messages from people that have credentials, that have a reputation, that have a lot of likes, we could say. And when we embrace these messages, often we share them with other people. We can't wait to tell other people about them. We're so excited about them. Sometimes we even think that by these messages that we embrace, that we're somehow going to gain favor or gain acceptance with God because of this thing, whatever it is. And sometimes we embrace something because we want to be popular. We want to be in the know. We want to be in the in crowd. And so we may embrace a certain message. The thing is, we are so easily fooled, and we embrace messages sometimes that are not good for us. It's like this soda machine I saw at the theme park last week. Beautifully colored soda machine with a beautiful font on it. I don't know what it was for, but I know it was soda, and it said goodness. That's all. That's all I saw when I looked at the soda machine was goodness. Now, you and I know that what's inside that machine is not good for me. But that message was saying, hey, come over here, spend your money, and you will have goodness. Now, that is the story of the Galatian church. We're starting a series today on the book of Galatians that will probably take us through the summer and perhaps into the fall. Let me show you a map of what we're talking about here. You might not quite be able to see it, but up here is Galatia. People disagree as to who Paul was writing to. Some people believe he was writing to these churches here, Antioch, Lystrum, Iconium, and Derbe, churches that he had planted on a previous missionary journey. Other people think that he was writing to some churches up here in the north. We're not sure. If I had to take a guess, I'd say it was to those southern churches, churches that he had planted himself. This is modern-day Turkey, if you were looking at a map today. And these churches, wherever they may be, are likely to be made up of many, many non-Jewish Christians. That is, Christians who have come to faith in Christianity, but they're not Jewish, they're Gentiles. So they don't know anything about any of the Jewish regulations that we read about in the Old Testament. That's important for us to understand as we look at this passage today. What we believe is that there are Pharisees who came to faith in Christ. Now, while Jesus was here on earth, most of the Pharisees did not believe in Jesus. There may have been one or two that we know of that heard Jesus' message and embraced it. But by and large, the Pharisees were a group of people who did not embrace Jesus' message. But after his death and resurrection, some of them did. And so we believe that there are Pharisees who are now teaching in some of these churches or making their way to some of these churches that Paul planted, and they are teaching a gospel that's different than the one that Paul brought to those churches. We could call this a fish wrapper version of the good news. It looks good on the outside, but when you open it up and you see what's inside, it's not good news. So we're going to read. And what we're going to read is that this message that the Pharisees are offering these new churches is like poison, like the soda from that machine that's going to taste so good going down, but is so bad for me. If you want to take our copy of the Bible underneath every other chair, there's a red Bible. We're going to read from page 823. Galatians 1 and verse 1. Page 823, it says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than the one that you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Why are the Galatians so confused about something as simple as the gospel? And why is Paul so astonished, so shocked? And if you understand his tone, Why is he angry? I found a couple of things. The first one is that the only good news, there's only one good news, and the only good news comes directly from God. And so we have human news and we have God news. News that comes from us, from man, and news that comes from God. And we have false teachers that are coming to these churches, and we have the Apostle Paul. Paul is an eyewitness. If you're going to get your news, it's a good idea to get your news from someone who was there at the event, someone who saw it, someone who was an eyewitness. These Pharisees were not eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. The Apostle Paul was. He saw the resurrected Christ. Jesus revealed himself directly to Paul and gave Paul the gospel message. And Paul is defending not so much himself, but defending his role as an apostle, as someone who has been sent, as someone who's been sent with a message directly from God to give to these new churches. The false teachers claim a connection to the other apostles, to Peter and James and all them. But these false teachers are teaching a different gospel than the one that Peter and James are preaching. And the Galatians are now embracing this human news, this human message, which is not good at all. So the only good news comes directly from God. The only good news is also embraced by the church. That's important. In verse 2, Paul takes the time in the beginning of this letter to say, I'm not the only one who's writing this letter to you. Now, Paul might have had some traveling companions with him, brothers and sisters in the faith who are with him at the writing of this letter, and he makes it clear that he's not writing this on his own. This isn't Paul's gospel. This isn't Paul's letter to Galatia. This is coming directly from the church. And it's coming from that church, wherever Paul is with those believers, to the churches in Galatia. This is the same crowd that Peter and James would be a part of. It's that church. There's only one church. And that's the problem with other gospels, is they divide the church. The Galatians are embracing a different message than ever all the other Christians are embracing. Do you see that? So the only good news is embraced by the church. Now, only the good news gives us grace, and only the good news gives us peace. We see that in verse 3. We have two choices. One is grace and peace, and the other one is works and turmoil, is what this passage gets at. Two choices. We can work for our salvation and be in turmoil and confusion our whole lives, or we can embrace the grace and peace that comes from the good news of the gospel. It says here in this passage that the believers were thrown into confusion. It's the word agitated. When you think about, we've seen this word before in the New Testament when we're looking at some other epistles. It means to be agitated. And think about your washing machine. There's agitation going on there. There's confusion going on in there as the soap and the water is mixing with all of your clothes. It's a tumultuous thing. You don't want to get in there. But what has happened with this message that the Galatians have embraced, it's in a sense that they're inside the washing machine and they're being tossed all around and they're confused because Paul taught this message, but now these other teachers are teaching a different message and they're agitated. What Paul intended for these believers was for them to remain still, to be soaking in Christ. You see the difference between when you put something in your washing machine and you just leave it there to soak? That's a very different experience than when you turn it on and agitate. And that's what Paul is saying here. I want you to soak in the love of Christ. I don't want you to be worried about what you're doing that may earn you salvation. Soak in Christ. Sit in Christ. Remain in Christ. Abide in Christ. But the Galatians have embraced this message that is confusing them. So only the good news gives grace and peace. And I say that because this is important. If you want grace and you want peace, There's only one place to get it. So if you're getting it somewhere else, you're not going to get grace and peace. You may get a counterfeit that looks like grace and peace at first, but is no grace and peace at all. Next, we see that only the good news can rescue us. Verse 4. You can do it yourself, or you can let Christ do it for you. Those are your choices. What these false teachers were teaching was that salvation equals Christ plus all the Old Testament festivals, all the food laws of the Old Testament, and circumcision. That was what salvation was to them, and that's what they were preaching in the church. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Old Testament festivals, nothing wrong with the food laws, nothing wrong with circumcision. All those things were given to the Jewish people in the Old Testament. But when Gentiles come to faith in Christ, they're certainly allowed to participate in those things, but not as a means to salvation. And that is what's happening here. For Paul, salvation equaled Christ plus nothing. Christ plus nothing equals salvation to Paul. I read in one place where they said it was like taking the ABCs of the Old Testament, which were supposed to point forward to Christ, and going back to the ABCs when we should be moving on to sentences and paragraphs. So this thing that was once useful now has been superseded by the gospel, at least for those who are Gentiles. Paul says that they are turning to a different gospel. The word there is heteros. And we use that in our language. We say heterosexual, right? That means that I'm attracted to people of the opposite sex. I'm attracted to my wife. All right, she's different than me. She's different in quality than me, and that's what attracts me to her. This gospel is different in quality. The gospel that these false teachers are teaching is different in quality than the gospel that Paul taught. The good news saves. It rescues us. But this news, this fish wrapper news that the false teachers were putting out there, cannot save. And that's why it's important that we don't latch on to it, whether in the form that it was in the New Testament or whatever form it may take today. In the Greek, it's really interesting that what Paul's talking about here is a complete rescue. It's not like Jesus like half rescues us, like we do half of the work and he does half of the work. It's a complete rescue. Think about Paul or Peter, who was in the boat and Jesus told him to come out of the boat, and he stepped out onto the water. And he literally walked on the water for a little while, but then he fell down because his faith. He was looking at the wind and the waves instead of looking at Jesus. He fell below the water. What did Peter say in that moment?
Save me.
Save me. Help. That's all he could do. And that's all he needed to do. And what happened? Jesus reached down. Jesus grabbed him. Jesus pulled him up out of the water. It was a complete rescue. And that's what Jesus does with you and me when we hear his voice and we call out and cry out, help. That's all we can do. And he rescues us. It is a complete rescue. Any counterfeit thing in this world that says it's going to rescue you or help satisfy that thing inside you, that thirst or that hunger, is not going to completely rescue you. So only the good news can rescue us. The next thing I found is that only the good news gives all the glory to God. That's found in verse 5. We have two choices. Either we can give glory to God or we can give glory to ourselves. I don't know about you, but in my life, I find myself most of the time wanting to take credit for all the good things that happen around me. And it feels good. It feels really good to be able to contribute to your salvation. Doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good to know that you can do something? I can do something, and that will help me get salvation. Yeah, Jesus is really important. I get that. But I want to do something. I want to contribute to this. And the gospel says, you can't. You cannot. It feels good to contribute to your own salvation. But it doesn't work that way. And Paul says in verse 6 that he is astonished, he is shocked, that his converts are reading fish wrapper news. They're drinking soda when he brought them crystal clear water of salvation. And the main issue, if you see it here in the text, he says that they have turned away from Christ. That's the crux of the matter. They have turned away from Christ. If you turn back to the Old Testament laws and circumcision and anything else that you think is going to give you approval or favor in God's sight, well, you've turned away from Christ at that point. You're following a different way. To pervert the gospel means to turn it around 180 degrees. Like, they were walking in this direction when Paul was there, and the false teachers said, yeah, Jesus is good, but Jesus and these things, and turn them completely around. This is a completely other way. It's a no message. It's a lie that has turned the good news upside down. And the scary thing is the wording that Paul uses here means that there are two messages, and the two messages are sitting right beside each other. And it's like a taste test. The Galatians are blindfolded. And even though there's two very different products in front of them, they seem almost unidentifiable. Which one is the real gospel and which one's... And do you see the confusion? They're tasting both of these things and they taste the same, but they're not the same. One's poison and one's the real thing. So Paul's main point is this: there's only one good news, and I want you to embrace this. I want you to embrace this real thing. Now, how do we embrace the good news? Maybe you're here today and you're new to the idea of good news. You're new to the idea that you can't do anything to save yourself, that only Jesus can save you. Maybe you've been thinking your whole life that good people will make it to heaven. Good people will, in the end, be okay. But do you get what Paul said here? He's saying that we're not good. We're not good. If we've broken one of those Old Testament laws, we have broken the law. It's called the law for a reason. Not the laws, the law. If you break the law, you're a lawbreaker in God's sight. And that has to be punished. And that's why Jesus has to rescue you. The good news says you're not good. The good news says I'm not good. Maybe you've thought in your life, all of us will eventually find God. You know, eventually we'll all make it to the right place. The good news says that you cannot find God. Go looking for him. The thing is, he's going to come and find you. You're not going to go and find him. That's what the good news says. You offer your sins for rescue, and Jesus does the rest. There's no good works. There's no acts of religion. There's no acts of morality that will help you. I think Martin Luther said that. No good works, no acts of religion, no acts of morality will help you when it comes to your salvation. The thing is, you can't earn God's love. My daughters don't earn my love. I just love them. I don't know why, I just do. God made me to want to love them. They don't have to earn my love. They just get it. Jesus is the one who gives you the desire. Jesus is the one who gives you the strength to embrace him, to embrace this good news message. Maybe you're new to Crossroads. This good news is the foundation of this church and has been the foundation of this church all the way back to the 1960s. This good news is our foundation. This good news is our script. So you will hear it over and over and over again. I remember in the last 10 or 11 years hearing a similar message to this one. And there's a reason for that, because it is the foundation. It is the wellspring for every facet of our lives. It is the lens through which we want to see everything here in this church. Now, one of the things that comes up when you're reading these texts is, what if I had the good news at one time, like the Galatians, but I got sidetracked with other messages opposed to the good news? Have I now lost my salvation? Well, I don't think we lose our salvation once we have it. I think because Jesus is the one who rescued us, it didn't depend on us to get saved, so it doesn't depend on us to stay saved. But we do lose something. We do lose our freedom. We sang a little bit about freedom earlier. Freedom is the theme of Galatians. And what Paul is saying is if you grab onto another gospel message that really isn't a gospel message at all, if you latch onto something other, something different, something that looks like the real thing but isn't, you're not going to grow. You're not going to have freedom. You're going to be shackled. You're going to get stuck in your faith. It's like we're stuck on the ABCs when we should be moving on to complex sentences, paragraphs, and writing books. We're stuck. We're scribbling like nursery students. Now, we have elders here in this church, and we have church leaders. And to you, I would point to verse 7 and verse 8. It says, let God's curse fall on people who twist the truth. The word is anathema there. Some people use the word excommunication. If we're strong about anything, elders and church leaders, let us be strong about the gospel message. Let everything we do here be informed by, be evaluated by, and be, most of all, powered by the good news, the gospel. It's all we have. And thank God it's all we need. We have Bible study leaders here in this church, and I want to encourage you to make sure there's no trace of bad news in your Bible studies. No man-centered thinking, no man-glorified teaching. Always look at what you're teaching and say, does it match the gospel, what Paul talked about here? Young people, we have some young people in our congregation. I think about them when I think about this because I want to encourage you, if you're a young person today, to evaluate every message that you get by this good news. We have cell phones, we have video games, we have movies, we have lots of stuff that is always sending us messages, and those messages have to be evaluated. If you're a Christian, you have to evaluate these messages that come to you. How does this message that I'm receiving right now match up to the message that I've received from God? That's the question. Is the way that I'm living more representative of the gospel message or of some other message that I picked up somewhere? What is shaping me? What is shaping me? Is it the culture? Or is it Jesus? And it's subtle. It's subtle. You know, Paul said he's astonished that they so quickly moved to another gospel. But think about it. There's a subtlety in any other gospel. It's like Amazon.com. I love it. You know, I can go on there, I can order something that I absolutely have to have, and in 2 days, it'll show up at my door, or maybe the side door. It'll show up somewhere on my property. And think about it. Over time, you have this great customer experience. You can start to say to yourself, wow, I couldn't live without this. I mean, I need to get this thing right here. This will be really good news for me. If I get this thing right here, I have to have this. This is really important. This is going to help me keep up with the Joneses or whatever. Do you see how subtle something that's kind of good that you can get what you need in 2 days starts to become an experience that can engulf you? Similar thing with a cell phone. Can be used for great good. But that cell phone tells me every day that I am the center of the universe, that I can have whatever I want. It might as well have goodness written on the front of it. Engage with me. I am good. I am your good news. I am your satisfaction. I am everything you need. That's another gospel. I want to encourage you to not entertain false teaching. We have a lot of teaching that we can access these days. Different than when I first started in ministry 20-something years ago. We didn't have that much. I mean, you had to go to church to hear a good message. Maybe you could listen to someone else preach on a cassette. If you didn't like your pastor's teaching, you'd get a cassette from somewhere else. But it was kind of hard to access. Today, we can listen to teaching from all over the world, from anyone we want. Can I encourage you to put a lens to the teaching that you're listening to? Put a lens to it. You have a fish wrapper alarm. It's called the Holy Spirit. And when you're listening to a message, you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if the message that you're hearing, even if it's a religious message, lines up with the scriptures. That's important. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Know your Bible. Know the story of God's love for you so well that when you see a counterfeit and you taste that, you go, no, that's not the real thing. This week, there was a man in my office, and he was out of control, swearing, so forth. And he was in despair. His life has been turned upside down. It got to the end of our time together, someone else waiting to come in. Oh, what am I going to do? And I said, I got nothing for you. I got one thing for you. Jonah. I feel like you're Jonah. You have in some ways been running from God. And in whatever ways you've been running from God, now you're in this place. It's not all your fault, but you're in this dark place. You're in this stinky place. You're in this place you don't want to be. And you're crying out to God. You're wondering if he's going to answer you. And it may take a few days. It may take a few months. It may take a year. But I really believe that whale's going to spit you out on the beach. You're going to make it through this. Because the gospel message says that there has to be a death. There has to be a death before there can be a resurrection. There has to be a death before resurrection. I mention that because I had nothing else for him. But I had just engaged with that story of Jonah. And it sounded so much like where he was. And because I had access to that Bible story and the biblical truths, I was able to share that with him. I want to encourage you to learn the good news. Learn it so well that you can share it and tell it to others. We have a memory verse that we chose for this series. I'm going to bring it up here on the screen. Will you read this with me? Ready? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. Do you feel like you're losing so much these days? You've been crucified with Christ. This world can't take anything away from you. You're dead to this world. You're living by faith. Faith in the Son of God. Jesus himself is living in you through his Holy Spirit. In Jesus, you have everything. You lack nothing. That is good news, my friends. Maybe you feel ashamed this morning. Maybe you feel guilty. Maybe you feel shamed. Jesus died and he gave his life for you. He took care forever of all that stuff. You know the stuff? The guilty, the shameful stuff, the stuff that you want to leave in the car when you come in here for worship. I want to encourage you, go back out to the car and bring that stuff in here. Because Jesus has destroyed that sin. Whatever guilt and shame that you have, he has destroyed that sin without destroying you. You have nothing to hide. Galatians is going to say that to us over and over again. You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to hide. That's good news. Maybe this last stretch of life for you, you've been trying to prove yourself. Prove yourself to God, prove yourself to yourself, prove yourself to someone else. The gospel says you don't have to prove anything. You are loved and you are accepted by God no matter what. That's good news. Don't buy into the lie that there's something you can do that will make God love you more. Don't buy into the lie there's something that you can do that would make him love you less. He loves you. He just does. Because if you believe those messages, I'm here to tell you today, all that's worth, wrap up your fish in it. That's all it's worth. It's fish wrapper. Let's pray. Lord, bless the reading and the application of your word. Make clear to each one of us what the message is that you wanted us to hear today. There's someone here that's not connected to you. And I pray that you would help them to respond to this good news message today by declaring they know that they're sinful, by declaring they know that they need to be rescued, by declaring that they know that you can save them because you died and you rose again. May they see you right now, praying, interceding for them to answer your call. And would they answer it today? Lord, prepare us for this next season of ministry by grounding us in the good news. And give us words to share with those who are outside the faith. Lord, astonish us with your goodness so that we can live it out. Amen.